Hello, and welcome to SAP on Azure Talk. My name is Ravi Kashyap.
And I'm Nathan Weaver. And today we're going to talk about Azure services. What Ravi and I wanted to do was take some time and lay out what are some of the typical services that SAP customers leverage when they're running their SAP environment on Azure. Ravi, I really like this topic. And I know that there's a product out there called, it's not a product, but there's a very good display called Azure Charts. I think it's azurecharts.com.
Yeah, somebody from Microsoft has created this. And you know, I agree with you. Azure, last time I checked, Azure had more than 600 services or something. And of course, we don't use all of them for SAP. So I think it's a good topic to discuss about what are the most common use cases and what services are associated with those.
Yeah, and this Azure Charts, I like it because it doesn't list all 600. It kind of gives us nice categories to kind of talk about. And one thing I have to give it up to Microsoft for is that I do think that Microsoft names their products according to what they do, not just some crazy name that you have to figure out what that actually means. I think Microsoft does a pretty good job.
Funny story about that. Yesterday, I was talking to somebody and they said, everything starts with Azure. How confusing is that?
So Ravi, let's go ahead and jump in. So if we think about compute, I mean, we spent quite a bit of time talking about it, but let's just go ahead and categorize everything, right? So I say compute with SAP environments. What do you think?
A lot of SAP's products are certified in the IaaS model. So when you talk about compute, the most common things that comes to my mind are virtual machines or machines in general. I know when Azure started, we used to have something called HANA large instances, which is all the physical machines for HANA boxes. But with VMs certified up to 12 terabytes, we don't see as often anymore.
Well, except Ravi, except for those really large customers, we still do have this and we are actually still certifying. Optane is one that comes to mind, like investments around building out large instances with Optane. So, I mean, I think it's still there.
It's still there, but for most of the people or 90% of the people, they wouldn't go that large. So I do like the Optane use case. That's really great. There's something called dedicated host too, where you can buy the whole host and create smaller VMs within it. I haven't seen a whole lot of companies doing that. And I think you have seen some use cases for that.
We've had some discussions around some of in the federal space around impact level 5 and potentially impact level 6. For my federal customers, you'll know what that means. In typical scenarios, most federal environments run in SAP environments run at impact level 4, which do use VMs inside of Azure Government. But the good thing is we have them available. These, like Ravi said, you can get dedicated hosts inside of Azure that still have a lot of the functions and features, but you basically buy the whole box.
You can't just buy one box. Otherwise, how are you going to do your high availability or disaster recovery? So that we're looking at a bigger investment, which may not be worth it given that virtual machines are so efficient.
All right, Ravi, compute, we've talked about that quite a bit. Talk to me about storage. What are some of the different storage items that we talk about with SAP?
Yeah, I know. What are you going to do without storage? Just compute doesn't do anything. You got to install and then everything runs on the or resides in the storage itself. So the most common for SAP is Azure Managed Disks. Those are the disks that are attached to the virtual machine. Managed disks come in different shapes and sizes and flavors, such as premium disk, standard disk, and ultra disk, and all those. To name the other big one is Azure NetApp Files. And I like that because it has built-in SLA and built-in redundancy. So my favorite use case for Azure NetApp Files or ANF is shared storage, or when I'm talking about high availability. It does support both NFS and SMB shares. So whether it is a Windows box or a Linux box, when you think of shared storage, first thing that comes to my mind is Azure NetApp Files because it's a PaaS solution. You don't have to worry about creating your own virtual machines. It's plug and play. Right?
Yeah, Ravi, you and I kind of joked about this one a little bit. For me, anytime I think of Azure NetApp Files, obviously I'm going to think about scale out for BW systems that are really big, but I still like the conversation that we are having around taking snapshots with Azure NetApp Files. I know we can do it with Azure Backup and other things, but I still think that there's some good use cases around that one as well, right?
They're launching another feature called cross-region replication. It's in preview, I think, right now. Replicate the storage from a primary data center to a secondary region. So that's a great use case.
So now, Ravi, moving along from storage, because, okay, that makes sense. We talked about compute. That's how I'm going to run stuff. We talked about where am I going to store stuff inside of Azure on the disks. Obviously, we need to think about networking. So how I'm going to move stuff around. And there's a number of products that we typically think about with SAP with networking. I want to at some point realize how we're going to leverage Azure Orbital so that I can run an SAP environment from inside of a space station, but or on, you know, Elon and I are going to run to Mars, but we'll figure that one out later on. But in general terms, when I say networking, what are some of the main services that we leverage with Azure when we talk about that?
Orbital might be useful when Elon decides to start a population at Mars and then trying to decide how to communicate with Earth people, right?
Or if he wants to get his car back, the one that he's floating around in space.
How about the monkey that he sent? Didn't somebody send monkey to space? I think networking is one of the core ones. And I think no matter what service you use, you need networking. Otherwise, how are you going to connect to Azure, right? So I think one of the most basic ones is networking. Things that come to my mind is ExpressRoute. I do know VPNs are available, but for most of the SAP customers, since SAP has so much data and it's latency sensitive, so ExpressRoute is almost a requirement, I would say. Load balancer is a big one when you're trying to do high availability. There is a way to provide virtual IP addresses. I've seen people using Network Watcher for network troubleshooting and monitoring. Private link is a big one. I think that's out of public preview now. It started to support a lot of other use cases. Besides that, I've used Azure Bastion quite a bit. If you don't want to provide a public IP to your servers, use Azure Bastion to connect to those VMs. And I think that's a good use case.
The one thing that pops out to me, and when you go to this azurecharts.com, again, I really like this, but they also put under networking firewall, Azure firewall in this particular case. But I think it is also important for you as a customer to understand what's your approach going to be to securing your environment. We talked about ASGs or application security groups and NSGs or network security groups. And we talked about where to stick firewalls, and Ravio is going to yell at you to say, don't put anything in between your database and your app layer. But firewall does become important for you to understand how are you going to actually secure the environment and where are you going to pop open holes?
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of security, Ravi, the next topic that we wanted to touch on was identity and security, right? So this is the easy win for us on the Microsoft side, because look, Azure Active Directory is the leader in this space. But talk to me a little bit about some of the other products that customers are using and actually looking down this out. Oh, there it is. I was going to pull out Sentinel because I keep seeing a lot of stuff that's in getting into preview around Sentinel. So I can't wait to see more happening there. But what are some of the other things that you typically see?
I'm glad we're talking about identity and security together, because in my mind, identity is half the battle in security, right? You want to make sure right people are accessing it. Couple of ones that I've seen very frequently is Security Center. Security Center is big. You go to Security Center, you configure stuff. It will tell you what you have missed or what Azure's recommendation is. Like if you miss NSG, it will tell you that this is a better way to do how to secure this better. So I like that. Azure Key Vault is another good one where you store your keys and secrets. You talked about Azure Sentinel also. DDoS protection, distributed denial of service attack. So I think DDoS basic comes with any Azure subscription. You could buy standard, and that's a good feature to have. I haven't used Azure AD B2C or Azure AD DS very much in SAP landscape, but Active Directory is the most basic one that you want to have everywhere.
Yeah, and we are starting to see on customers, I've seen more of it popping up in some of the strategic accounts, but I'm seeing more customers starting to leverage Azure Defender too. When we start thinking about endpoint security, it's come up more than it hasn't. I'll say it like that. It's come up in a number of large strategic opportunities. Again, it's just how are you securing your environment from the end user perspective all the way to the database and back? Again, I think that's a clear advantage for Microsoft. Management and management and governance, right? This one's interesting because I think this one has some items in here that cross over a couple of different areas, but I understand why it's in this little bucket. I love the idea of automation. I think automation can stick in a couple of different spots. And obviously, Azure Backup is in here, and you could use a number of other services to do that. Azure Monitor is becoming my favorite to have a single pane of glass to view environments. Ravi, what are some others?
Management and governance is a big one in my mind, too, because it has a lot of things under it. So right from Azure Advisor, we have talked about a couple of weeks ago, there is Azure Auto Manage. That's a lot of work is going on behind the scenes, which lets you auto manage the virtual machines and their updates. You talked about Azure Backups. I've seen Azure Blueprints every once in a while. Azure Lighthouse is a big one, where it would let the service providers manage the customer's environment.
Hey, Ravi, on the Azure Auto Manage, I haven't actually done that very often, and I'm actually looking forward to looking into that one even more myself. Because I know a lot of our customers struggle with how do they keep their images up to date? How do they keep their patch levels up to date? I know you said that Microsoft is spending a lot of time on this. Are you seeing customers starting to adopt that more?
For SAP environments, I think for Windows, it's been available. But for Linux, I think it just went in preview or something. So I've seen SAP use cases. For example, AutoManage gives you ability to customize updates too. So it's not like it's pushing everything that you don't need or not certified. More to come on this. But from what I've seen, it looks promising.
That's great.
I frequently use Azure Cost Management, and we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago too. Cost management is a big one in cloud, and I think when you talk about management and governance, cost management comes to my mind very often.
Well, I don't know why, but in our last conversation, you talked about how you spun up your own HANA environment and forgot to turn it off, and you got an alert. So I'm going to always remember that one, Ravi. That cost management thing is, hey, let's make sure you're staying under budget when you're doing these things, and cost management can help you to at least manage that appropriately.
Yeah, it lets you drill down to the kind of service you're using, how much you're paying for that service. So for example, if you turn on Azure NetApp Files and you're not using that very much, it will let you drill down to where it's being used and how much money you're going to save.
Yeah, I kind of mentioned it. We have a little bit of a crossover one here where we talk about automation. And we also talk about, there's another line item in here that talks about DevOps. With SAP, I kind of lump those two things together. So I'm kind of blurring some of these boxes a little bit, but automation is extremely important. I know we've talked in the past about leveraging companies leveraging Terraform and Ansible to be able to create their pieces. We talked about leveraging ARM templates and then growing into bicep templates, right? We're working on our arms. They'll probably come out with a forearm at some point. But the point is that I think that that's extremely important that you understand your approach for automation to be able to get repeatable in the build outs or management of your environment.
Automation and DevOps are kind of go hand in hand in my mind too.
Yeah, especially with SAP, because SAP does have their own kind of transport paths and their own kind of DevOps. I mean, look, even Solution Manager, you can integrate Charm into Solution Manager for some of those pieces. But at the end of the day, when we're talking about the cloud infrastructure, you just have to get a little bit more beyond what SAP does, even though they're trying to do it some with Llama. But when we talk about going all the way down to the soup to nuts, you really need to have a cloud automation as well.
Yeah. I like the next one, migration, because anything that you have to get to Azure, you have to migrate to Azure.
You know what though, Ravi, this one, you and I have kind of talked about this one in the past too, that most of the time I don't see us leveraging Azure Migrate as much with SAP environments, because the reality is whether you're doing a heterogeneous or even a homogeneous migration into the cloud, you're going to leverage SAP tools to do that, which means most customers are going to build the environment from scratch inside of Azure, and then you're going to use the SAP tools, either the SUM DMO, so the upgrade manager, or the database migration option, all that kind of stuff, to get your SAP environment into the cloud. But SAP environments aren't just SAP. There's always ancillary components that surround it. So there are use cases that say, hey, SAP customers will leverage this stuff. It just may not be around SAP itself.
Yeah, I've seen some customers using Site Recovery or some customers using Azure Migrate. I think DB migration service, as far as database is concerned, we always use SAP technology. Like we're using HANA, you'll be using HANA system replication or something. I've seen Databox being used every once in a while if you're trying to migrate out of a data center or a service provider which does not let you connect directly to Azure. Databox is the only other way.
This next topic is actually one of my favorites. It's integration, right? And I think that Azure integration, and when I say that, I typically lump in Azure API management and Logic Apps and Service Bus and all those three things together. When you tie in Event Grid and some of this other stuff, it kind of all fits into the story. And I think this becomes important, Ravi, because look, for SAP to SAP communications, you're still going to leverage process integration or process orchestration. You're still going to leverage whatever they're calling it today. I still remember it as HANA Cloud integration, especially if you're hooking up a SuccessFactors environment into your environment. So I think that those use cases, you're still going to leverage SAP tools for a lot of that. And even SAP inside of the business technology platform has an API management offering. But what we've seen, or what I've seen, is a lot of opportunities where customers are trying to build out their enterprise approach for integration. And that's when these tools from Azure really come into play. Ravi, are you seeing the same thing?
Yeah, my personal favorite is Logic Apps one, which you can use without a lot of coding knowledge. And a couple of use cases that I've seen floating around is shutting down the SAP system or shutting down the VM to cost save money or trigger an email when something goes wrong or things like that.
So analytics, Ravi, talk to me about analytics. This one can go so many ways.
The most common things that I've seen being used is Power BI, Data Lake, and Data Factory. I know there are a lot more. Azure Purview is another one that's up and coming, but Power BI can connect directly to the HANA database. You may have some licensing considerations in there if you're connecting anything directly to the database. Data Factory is another one, and Data Lake Analytics, where you can pump data from SAP and dump it into Azure for a lot of other, utilizing other tools and technologies for reporting.
The only other one that I'll add to what you said that I think is going to be one of those future-looking things is Synapse. Because I think Synapse, in the way that people kind of describe Synapse to me, I'm not a data and AI guy per se, other than at a high level, but the way people talk about Synapse with having the AI and ML baked into your data factory, to me, there's significant power in what Synapse will be able to deliver. Not only now, it already can, but that's another one of those things where I think as more customers come up with those use cases, that environment is just going to continue to expand. I see a lot of excitement around it. I'll say it like that.
What does Synapse compare to in terms of other products? Is it like Snowflake?
I don't want to pretend like I'm an expert. It's got a lot of that analytical flavor to it with a lot of the modeling baked into the product.
Fair enough.
AI and ML. Ravi, how can we make our computer smarter?
Machine learning and cognitive search, bot services, another good one. I think you had a very good use case that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I've seen it with actually internal to Microsoft. We actually have some of this stuff that's running our SAP system or Microsoft's SAP system. One of the use cases was leveraging bot services, making some calls to some of the cognitive services, but around text recognition and all that. But it's basically where there's a bot that's handled on the front end of a person who's creating a ticket, and the environment will make a call into Solution Manager to find all the documentation associated with a transaction code that a user is experiencing issues with, right? So then it pulls back to try to be as self-supportive as possible back to the users, offering some possible fixes. And if an issue does need to get created, it would route it to the appropriate person based on that transaction code, stuff like that, right? I see bot services used a lot, obviously, with customer CRM systems or the front end environments of a CRM type system, whether it's for service or something to that effect. But I think this is another one of those areas that are going to continue to expand out, whether it's the cognitive services or tying into other pieces around machine learning to be able to make decisions. I think this is just another growth area that's going to continue.
Yeah, I think AI is the future, and there are a lot more integrations coming than it exists today, for sure. Our last topic for today is IoT and mixed reality. When you think of Internet of Things and mixed reality realm, what does SAP use case look like?
Yeah, HoloLens is a good one. I mean, just to kind of throw it in there, but that one's kind of getting easier just because you can think about it. I'm going to do surgery with some sunglasses on, and I'm going to be able to know how to do something with a bone and put the piece in the right spot, right? I mean, so HoloLens is an easy one. I see a lot of edge compute there too, Ravi. I used to work with a paper manufacturer, and we had a lot of sensors that were out tracking different changes and tracking different things. And actually, my favorite, I think I said this before, my favorite IoT thing is connected bars. So it actually measures the flow of beer coming out of the taps, and it'll measure the different elements of the flow. So the connected bar is a good one. I think there's a lot of use cases there. Ravi, we are kind of talking about the digital twins. And I think that's another one of those things, whether you're building a building and you want to run different analytics against it to see what happens, if wind happens, or if you have a faulty this or that. I think digital twins is huge with a lot of different environments. What do you think about this stuff?
I haven't seen a whole lot of use cases with the customers that I work, but I think a lot of innovative use cases are coming, and SAP customers are not there yet in a lot of instances. So a lot of times when I hear something about IoT Hub, how would you use it? It goes into the exploratory space. There's not defined use case. Let's try to figure out how would we use this once we are in Azure kind of thing.
Ravi, I think it depends on the industry. I think some industries are more advanced. Like there's been manufacturing. I'm thinking about, my brain is going away right now. I can't think. I want to say Honeywell, but there's other companies out there that have been doing sensor readings of their machines for years. And we used to say, stick all that information into MII, and then you can take the
MII.
And say, We used to say take the shop floor to the top floor, and MII was a way to help you do that. And especially around like preventative maintenance type operations of manufacturing, I think there are use cases there. And then even for me, IoT kind of even still comes out of some of how are you tracking like pallets in a warehouse if you're using RF devices, right? Again, it's an edge computing for me, where I think certain industries and certain companies have stuff. I think there's just a lot of room for that to continue to expand.
Yeah, I agree. When I think of mixed reality, the first thing that comes to my mind is video games.
HoloLens, man. HoloLens.
HoloLens. There you go. I think there are a lot of technologies like that where SAP integration would be very useful and look good. But at least on day-to-day basis, I'm not working with a lot of use cases on these innovative technologies yet.
So, Ravi, I'll say it like this. What I'm seeing, I see a lot of our larger customers are leveraging stuff or have plans to leverage pretty much all these services. Because I've joked about this before, saying cloud is like dog years, right? The pace that the cloud continues to change, you know, I'm showing my gray hair here, that it used to be a 5-year period is now a 1-year period. I mean, I think that the pace of change and how fast new things are coming out and what really smart people are coming up with, it's the whole reason why everybody is moving to a hyperscaler and why we believe that through the investments that Microsoft is making, you're not going to get a more secure environment that has more PaaS services so you can focus on doing what you need to do to sell or make or do whatever you do best with your products or services. I mean, that's just my opinion.
So what I've seen is 5 years ago, focus was just get to hyperscaler, get to Azure or anywhere else. But now the focus is what do you do then? We are there now. How can we make use of everything else that's around? And I think that's where the value is going to come in next 5 to 10 years.
I'll say for our listeners out there, look, we can't deep dive on every one of these topics. The purpose of this little podcast is to give you something to think about while you're out there walking your dog, or if you're really ambitious, walking your cat or your guinea pig, whatever your animal is. Hopefully we've given you at least something to think about or areas that may catch your attention and you can go look up. Ravi, thanks again for taking the time here. You know, I love talking to you. You're my favorite.
I'll let you talk to you later. Bye-bye.